prayer. Dear Father, quiet our hearts after that amazing worship. As we draw close to you, allow me to be a vessel and speak your word to these amazing people gathered together in your honor. And use me to radiate your love and your encouragement. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Morning, new day. It's great to be back. Did you ever wake up on Sunday morning and think, not sure if I feel like going to church today? I have. You know, my mind races with everything I want to get done before the start of a work week, and I think, you know, by the time I get here and get home, it's like 2 hours, you know, give or take. When my husband George was diagnosed with colon cancer, part of his treatment required that every Wednesday for several months, he would have to report to the chemo lab, and he spent 2 or 3 hours hooked up to some medicine they pumped in his arm that was really nasty. And he might feel great on Wednesday morning, but by Thursday afternoon, he was not great. And every Wednesday morning he woke up, and I know he remembered what that medicine made him feel like. And I'm sure he wanted to skip chemo many times, but he never did, because he knew that his life depended on that. So what would it be like if we woke up every Sunday morning and just like jumped out of bed and got super excited, ran into the closet to say, what are we going to wear to go and worship at New Day? Because we totally understood with our heart and our mind and our soul and our spirit that our life depended on it. When I first became a Christian, I was working for a large company and I traveled a bit in the Midwest. And I happened to be in Detroit working on this particular week. And the cool thing, I don't know if you all experienced this when you came into your walk with the Lord, but it's like a club, you know, a club of, you know, Jesus people. And even if you're in a secular environment, if you're in a classroom or a workshop, like Jesus people drop little clues and you can figure out who they are. And then during the lunch break, you can, you know, take your tray over to their table and talk about Jesus, and it's great, especially if you're a new believer and you're a sponge and you're super hungry. And that's how I met Milton, and he was on fire, and man, I learned some great stuff over lunch, and I happened to be there for the whole week, and he said, you know, Miss Maureen, we're going to be, our church has worship on Tuesday night, would you like? I said, yes, I would. I want to go to worship in Detroit. And well, the rest of that story is for a different sermon, but I want to just tell you about one little particular thing that happened that evening. We got to his church, and I didn't realize it at the time, but it was one of those mega churches because it was a Tuesday night service, and there were only a small group of people here, like our section here perhaps, and that was 400. So that kind of gives you an idea of how many people could have potentially been there. But we got there a little early, and we're sitting waiting, and I had great anticipation. I was just a spiritual baby waiting to be fed. And I remember hearing this woman before I actually saw her, and I heard someone literally running. And she happened to just like take the seat right behind me. And I could hear her breathing, trying to catch her breath. And then all of a sudden, she started to just sob. I mean, all out cry. Not like a little weep or a little, I'm feeling disappointed or sad. She was full on. And I was just so moved. It's human nature. You turn around and you say, are you okay? Is there something I can do for you? And as I turned around, I noticed she had on her work uniform, which was some type of a housekeeping person at a franchise hotel, maybe Holiday Inn or something like that. She still had her name tag on. And there she was, just from work. And I turned and I looked at her and I said, are you okay? And she said, oh, I've been thinking about this all day. I couldn't wait to get here. I'm so excited. I can't control myself. So she spent the day cleaning up after other people's dirt, and she thought all day about spending an hour with her Lord. And when she got in the place she was going to meet him, she was so overcome, she wept. And I remember thinking, wow, that's what I want to grow up to be, right there. I'm not there yet. Y'all haven't seen me crying in the chairs yet. But just in case it happens one day, you'll know what's going on. Sunday morning worship at New Day is our opportunity to open our hearts and our minds and our souls to our Father, surrounded by a family of believers, showing up in this auditorium with great expectancy because our lives depend on it. What if in like next week's New Day Minute, Pastor Aaron announced a very special guest was coming? He'd be joining us next Sunday, actually, a guest who could heal with a touch, who could remove all of your pain, who could bless you beyond your wildest imagination and look upon you with favor and look upon your family with favor, giving you peace and joy. Would you even think twice about attending? I would not only be here, I'd get here early, I'd stay late, I'd bring friends, and I'd actually offer our guest room for accommodations if they were needed. Matthew 18:20 reads that, "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am with them." Well, we certainly have more than two or three here this morning gathered in his name. So guess what? That means our special guest is here today. We don't need to wait until next week. He's here. He heals with a touch. He'll remove all your pain, inside and out. He'll bless you beyond your wildest imagination. And he'll look with favor upon you and your family. And he'll give you joy and abundance and peace. He's right here in this place with us right now. The Holy Spirit is present and ready to move in each of our lives as our friend, as our advocate, as our counselor. Whatever your deepest need is, maybe it's something you've never even said to another human being. He's here. He's prepared to meet it today, to deliver you today, to forgive you today. Your experience and your life could be so different if you showed up here every Sunday with great expectancy, like expecting a miracle or a fresh touch from the Holy Spirit, and not willing to leave until you get it. Several years ago, I read a book by Tommy Tenney called The God Chasers, and one of the initial chapters left such an impression on me. He was talking about being a guest at a church in Texas, a big church, and it was a Sunday church that had two services. So if you've ever gone to a church like that, usually the early ones maybe around 9, and then the second one's around 10:30 because they want to make sure that, you know, people can get out of the parking lot so that the next service can get in. So there's a little bit of planning in that. So as he wrote in this church was praying for the power of the Holy Spirit to touch them. They were praying for revival, and they had been for months. And on this particular Sunday, they came in and they just felt, it just felt like there was this presence. And when they got in, the worship started and the music sounded like our music and the word and the message, and they were just so drawn in, they couldn't leave. The power of the Holy Spirit was so overwhelming, no one would leave. So think about this later today. Now, you know, when they play the final song, and then I'm going to do a little blessing, and then, you know, there's some random music, but generally, well, these people, they just wouldn't go because it was so incredible. They were experiencing that. And I guess then the second service people came and they were parked out on the freeway because then they wanted to know what was going on. It was quite a day. Matthew 7:7-8, Jesus teaches us about prayer. He says, "Ask, and what you are seeking, you will be given. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door you are knocking on will be opened. So everyone who asks receives, and everyone who seeks finds, and everyone who knocks has the door opened." Notice that those verbs are all proactive. They require that you do something. The cool thing about New Day and the community here and the Sunday worship is that it's a setting established for us every single week that we can come in and we can ask and we can seek and we can knock. But here's the key. You are the seekers. You are the ones doing the knocking. And you are the ones that have to be asking. Oftentimes we come and we expect Pastor Aaron and the worship team to, act on our behalf. Kind of as if we appointed them power of attorney with Jesus, to give them the power of attorney to ask and seek and knock for us. And the space is kind of conducive to that. You're all sitting where an audience typically would sit. And here on the stage, Pastor Aaron's usually right around here, and you've got these amazing, talented people sharing their gift. So it seems logical that you're observing what's taking place. But if you really limit yourself just to the chair and give up the authority to ask yourself, you are relinquishing something that's super important to your relationship with Jesus. So I'm going to just say a what if, but don't panic or get all your heart racing and stuff because I'm not going to suggest we do it. But what if I did ask you all to come up here on stage with me, like everyone. So we'd all be up here and then we just picked like one person who could maybe sit like maybe where Russ King is over there. Like just raise your hand, Russ. Like he'd be God. Okay. So he's going to represent God out there. And so that, the rest of us would be like here under the lights and exposed and feeling probably incredibly uncomfortable. That is how we prepare our hearts for worship. Because this is our performance to an audience of one. And so when you arrive at New Day, and whether you have the privilege of singing from where you stand or the singing up here, you're all singing to one God. We need to expect great stuff when we show up here, not from Pastor Aaron and not from the musicians, although they're anointed and gifted to share. We need to expect great things from him. So this morning, I want to thank you. I want to thank you because I've been coming here a while as one, getting into this group where there are two, three, and many more gathered together. And I want to tell you that I've been asking and seeking and knocking, and I've got some serious answers. So thank you for being, I couldn't do it on my own. I need a two or a three, so you all help me. But I also want to tell you that you can do that too. That's the gift of it. When he's here in your hearts and y'all come in, that's when miracles happen. Circumstances in my childhood led me to believe that I was put on this earth to live up to the expectations of other people. Long before I knew Jesus personally, I sensed something deep inside of me that was very unsettling. And this sense led me to a very sordid journey in a sinful world. Nothing filled the emptiness I experienced. And on October 5th, 2001, I invited Jesus into my heart, and by the grace of God, my life was changed forever. So today, 15 years later, I still seek, I still knock, and I still ask. And every day, I wake up expecting something really amazing. God delivered me from that unhealthy perspective. He helped me see that my purpose was not to exceed the expectations of other people, but to exceed the expectations of one. As I say it to you today, it sounds like words, but it has incredible meaning to me. When I let go of the need to live up to the expectations of other people, a heavy veil of fear was lifted from me. So you see, when you believe your primary responsibility is to please other people, you live in constant fear of disappointment or fear of failure. So when that fear left me, my heart was flooded with His love. And that love then became love for myself. And it wasn't like an arrogant, prideful love. It was a healthy self-love that I never experienced before. And then my love for other people grew, my love for all of you here. I was overcome with such an amazing sense of gratitude for my life and for all the blessings that had been bestowed upon me. And all of this happened because I believed. And I surrounded myself with two or three other believers, experienced and experiencing His presence. On Sunday morning, I come to New Day expecting great things. I sing, I pray, I listen to the word, I ask, I seek, I knock. On Sunday morning, I come to worship my King because my life depends on it. Let's pray. Dear Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for sending us your Holy Spirit to help guide us as we strive to live our lives to be pleasing to an audience of one, to you. Thank you for sending your Son to die on a cross so that we might be redeemed. I pray, Father, that if there is anyone in this place today who has not yet invited you to be the Lord of their life, that through your Son they might be inspired to acknowledge their sinfulness, to ask and receive your forgiveness, and to relinquish control of their lives completely and totally to you. In so doing, may they experience the love, the grace, and the mercy that comes only in knowing you. And may they experience the overflow of blessings that you so desire to bestow upon them. In Jesus' name, amen.